Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Can I get my pen back?
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Yes, Ed.
Well, I just wanted to make a, we were talking to Sandy Rios about the alt-right. So I Googled, what is the alt-right? Top of the page was something from the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, defining alt-right. You click on it, and it comes to their list of extremist groups, including American Family Association.
Us.
So if you search for alt-right, Google's top, now it is an ad from the SPLC, so that puts it at the top. But what I'm saying, what we've been saying is there's so much confusion about what alt-right means, people are going to search for it, and they're going to go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they list their group of extremist groups, and that includes us. That's why this phrase, this term, alt-right, can be so dangerous.
Just to be clear, and then we'll move on to the next topic here, what we were discussing with Sandy Rios the last half hour, in case you missed it, there has been a letter sent to President Trump from religious leaders. What's the name of it, Walker? Do you know the name of it?
It's just an open letter to President Trump.
And on our Today's Issues Facebook page, we posted the CNN article?
Yes.
Is that right? Because that's all we have right now, right? We don't have the original. But it has...
It has a link to the original article.
Okay.
Letter.
So, here's the problem, folks. Is this letter... Which is asking President Trump to come out publicly and condemn the alt-right. As Ed just mentioned, alt-right is defined as groups like American Family Association and American Family Radio by the left and by the media.
It does include actual white supremacist
groups.
So those are also included in the phrase, the term alt-right.
As if the president needs to condemn white supremacy again. That's stupid. I'm sorry, let me back off here.
Just say it more softly. That's stupid.
I just say that's not wise. I'll just say that's not wise. Okay, well, I'm just saying I'm getting worked up here because with the president, Trump does not have to come out day after day after day after day after day after day and condemn white supremacy, which there just aren't. There's a tiny, tiny fraction of the country. The groups hardly even exist, but you would think by the media that that's just... what they're defining as white supremacy is anybody who voted for Trump. That's how these people want to define it. But anyway, back to my point about this letter. Here's what's very disturbing, folks, about this letter we just mentioned that went to the White House requesting that President Trump come out and condemn xenophobia, racism, and the alt-right, is that it was signed by conservatives, by some conservatives who are friends of ours or people who we know and respect. It makes no sense why these people are on this letter, given what Ed just mentioned, and how easily alt-right is used to define groups like ours. So President Trump will throw this letter in the trash can, as it should be thrown in the trash can. That's not the point. The point is that these men, representing millions of people, in the case of Steve Gaines, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Convention, they signed this letter. Who else would we say?
Sammy Rodriguez.
Sammy Rodriguez from the Hispanic Evangelical Group.
Dr. Tony Evans.
Dr. Tony Evans signed this, among others. I don't know who else signed this letter. But it's very, very disturbing and disappointing, to say the least, that this was just, to me, this was political opportunism. Raw political opportunism. I'm sorry, but this is on the heels of Charlottesville. This is agreeing with the left's analysis of Charlottesville. It's what this is, and these guys have bought it, and they're asking President Trump to condemn racism, white supremacy. who do the white supremacists? Where's their audience, Ed? What power and influence do the white supremacists? Can you tell me when they're meeting so we can see what kind of power and influence they have?
I can't tell you when they're meeting. And we've made this comment before concerning the Southern Poverty Law Center's list of groups. our suspicion is that a lot of these just have a post office box. They're small groups of handfuls. Not, that's not to say that the ideology is okay. It's despicable.
What is?
Racist.
So you feel
the
need to condemn it again?
Well, I guess
I do. Ed Tagliano condemns racism.
I do. I want to make
okay.
sure. Because,
you go on the record, Ed.
Because if we are, if we don't do it, then the Southern Poverty Law Center and others will say, they're saying that white supremacist isn't really a problem.
I'm right. saying it isn't.
Well, I mean, there, you're saying the number of white supremacists isn't. But I would, you know, Tim, I'd like you to condemn white supremacy.
I condemn white supremacy.
All right, there
now.
We go. I'm happy.
How come Islamic supporters are not asked to condemn Islamic supremacism?
Right.
Every day. We need to have it every day mm-hmm. from them.
Yeah. Huh?
No, though I'm saying white supremacism is not a problem in America today. I'm telling you.
Doesn't have an audience.
On any measurable
yeah.
scale.
Right.
Do, in the hearts of some people, are there racist thoughts? Yes.
That's been that way since the dawn of creation.
Yes. But the KKK, for example, white supremacism, is not accepted by any part of society today to have any influence whatsoever in the political realm, in the business world, in education. They have no media presence. They own no radio stations, newspapers, or television. So I'm telling you, this is a boogeyman is what this is.
Right.
50 years ago, would that have been true? No. No, it would not have been true. Their presence would have been real. Bird. What was his name?
Oh, Robert Bird.
Robert
Senator.
Bird.
Senator Robert
Senator
Bird.
Senator Robert Bird, Democrat from West Virginia, was a member of the KKK.
Right.
So they had real influence. Today, no, they don't. And quit telling me they do. And quit asking me to condemn something that is so minuscule, it's not even... It doesn't even have a public presence.
Well, you've gone right. 2 minutes without condemning it, Tim. I think
all right,
maybe that
so
means
I condemn
you support it.
I condemn white supremacy.
Okay. I'm satisfied now.
Okay. I'll do it again before the show's over.
Thank you.
Steve Jordahl's sitting over here with nothing to do.
Oh, no. I got plenty to do. In fact, you talked about what the rest of my day is going to be like earlier.
Hey,
Steve. I'm running down the list.
Hey, Steve hasn't condemned it yet.
Steve,
have you condemned it on the program?
I condemn white supremacy and racism okay. and white toilet bowls.
Xenophobia?
Xenophobia's.
Well, what about overeating, Steve? Condemn it
no,
now.
No, can't do that. I'm unfortunately a little too guilty of that too often.
You're for overeating?
Sometimes
I am. He's for overeating, Ed. He's for gluttony. This is a pro-gluttony guy right here.
Pro-gluttony.
Okay.
From the pro-gluttony alliance.
One thing related to what we were talking about last half hour is that, and I don't have this story in front of me, but yesterday, a CBS lawyer, not a corporate lawyer for CBS, but someone who comments on legal cases on the CBS television network, came out and said something about what happened in Las Vegas, and as a result, she was fired. Do you have that, Walker?
Or the news story?
Do you know what she said exactly? She said she was unsympathetic.
Well, she
to the
said
victims.
She said essentially these are a bunch of Republican Trump supporters out here,
and she actually called them repugs.
Repugs.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she says her name was Hate. USA's throwing up a these paywall things. All right, her name is Haley Geftman Gold.
Yeah,
she was the CBS attorney, like you were talking about, a corporate lawyer. Who said on social media she wasn't sympathetic about the people who were killed because country music fans often are Republican gun toters.
Yeah.
Right. She was fired. She should have been fired for that. But, you know, they're talking about the alt-right spreading hate. What about the left right there? That kind of thing right there. They deserved it.
Yeah.
She's saying basically.
Well, I just want to go on the record and condemn what she said.
And now I've got two where I'm pro.
Well, that's the alt-left right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, anyway, what was her name?
Her name was Haley Geftman Gold, hyphenated.
She's dusting off her resume today?
She is, and she made the comments on Facebook. And so if you're a hater out there, you better not post it on Facebook, or you may spend the rest of your life unemployed.
We will find you out.
She's going to have a tough job, I would guess.
Yeah.
She may catch on with some alt-left business, you know, but.
Well, I tell you what, you know, this just reminds me of the. I don't know about all this Twitter and Facebook instant posting of your feelings and emotions. Nobody has to sleep on anything anymore or consider their words. They just they just throw something up against the wall, how they feel. And
that gives me second thoughts. I was going to get on some Snapface. What was the name of it?
Snapface.
Yeah, Snapface. I was going on Snapface, so I guess maybe I'll hold my powder and keep my powder dry on that.
I'm not saying I'm holier than thou, although I probably am in most cases. I would just say that I don't do any of that stuff for that very reason. I don't want to say something, because I do have thoughts like everybody else on things that are my gut reaction, that the day later I go, I'm glad I didn't say that.
Exactly.
Because I was wrong.
That's why I'm not on Tudor.
Yeah. We need to. Are you condemned Tudor, though? You need to come out and condemn Tudor right now. You condemn it, Ed?
What about Alt Tudor? I'm not sure I can.
Oh. Do you condemn Alt Tudor?
Alt Tudor.
Alt Tudor and Slapface.
Okay. Until Ed condemns Alt Tudor, he's for it. All right, Steve Jordahl.
Let me just start with a couple items that are on the calendar, just so you know it's happening. I don't know that it'll necessarily need a whole lot of discussion, but President Trump is going to be visiting Puerto Rico. And he is doing that, and following that, he will be in Las Vegas. But he's in Puerto Rico to see how
today
to see how the hurricane relief efforts are going. And you probably know that he's had a couple disagreeing words on Twitter or on Tudor, as you say, with the mayor of the capital of Puerto Rico. And so that's going to be – everybody's going to be watching that. But he is on the ground doing his job as president, going to the scenes of disasters. The other thing that is happening today is that the Supreme Court is taking up a case that they're hearing arguments today on redistricting. And it sounds in the weeds maybe, but I tell you, this is going to have a profound effect on elections if the Supreme Court agrees with the challengers to this. Basically, this is the process by which state legislatures draw up voting districts. So if you go vote and you have to go down to your local church and you find out that you're in the 5th precinct, I'm just pulling a number out of a hat, that precinct, the boundaries of that precinct was set by your state legislature. And whoever is in charge gets to set the boundaries. And so they try to set these things so that they can group people together. It kind of gives them a leg up in the elections coming up. So they'll have mostly Republicans together, and then the Democrats may try, and this happens on both sides of the aisle. But the Democrats, if they have control, they'll put a large Democrat population together, and then they'll also include maybe half of a Republican neighborhood or part of the city.
And then to nullify it.
Well, because it splits them in half. And then they'll put the other half of that in, along with another strong Democrat stronghold. So now, you can say this for Republicans to do the same thing. So now in this example we gave, you have two districts that are likely to elect a Democrat legislature, and you have a large number of Republicans who, if they voted in the same district, would be able to put a Republican legislator in, but they're not because they're divided in half because of how they gerrymander or draw the boundaries. That is in front of the Supreme Court today. Depending on how they resolve that, it could have a massive, massive implication on how we make up our Congress, for example.
Well, and let me make two points. I think the only alternative to doing that is you just set up a grid for a state. And that becomes a voting precinct, you know. And so if there's five people inside the square and the rest is all, you know, farmland, that's just the way it works. But here's the thing that is going to be problematic for liberals who don't want mostly Republican states gerrymandering to their own benefit is for a long time, minorities have relied upon state legislatures to set aside minority neighborhoods as a district, as a district, so that they could have a representative. If you stop the gerrymandering, minorities could lose those voting precincts.
It could happen. What tends to happen is that large cities tend to vote Democrat, and more rural and other communities tend to vote Republican. And you see that when you look at the map, if you've ever seen a map of like what Hillary won and what Trump won by county, it's massive, massive amounts of red space punctuated by some
blue
dots of blue globs and dots. Now, we saw in the popular vote that it not exactly, but it's fairly even, because if, you know, that blue dot with 6 million people in Chicago or whatever the number is equals, a you know, 10 of the 600,000 areas that are red. So it's worth noting that it is a little disingenuous to put the county map. It's going to be a lot more red because there's a lot more empty space in the United States, right, than it's in cities. But that's before the that is before the Supreme Court today. I wanted to talk. Can I tell you about how your tax dollars are working?
Well, this sounds like, just from the way you said it, this is going to be depressing. But go ahead.
So.
Go ahead, Steve.
This is actually something that was Judicial Watch is a group that has been hounding the federal government for documents that talk about what happened during the Obama administration. And in this case, they wanted documents from the Department of Health and Human Services and the IRS. And what they found was that the IRS and the Health and Human Services were spent some money to push Obamacare. And the way they did this is that, you remember that everybody who bought Obamacare was fine, but if you didn't buy Obamacare, because the law said you had to have insurance, if you didn't have insurance, you got a penalty. A lot of people say, I'd rather pay the penalty than have to suffer through Obamacare. So they just paid the penalty. Well, the IRS spent, get this, $5 million to craft a couple letters and test them. Now, I got to be the first to say, I would have done it for half that price.
$5 million.
$5 million.
To write a couple letters.
To develop and craft these letters. And the letters went out and said, we noticed that you didn't have Obamacare or you didn't have insurance. Do you know that there's a penalty and a penalty is coming? And there was a couple of different examples of that. Plus, the Judicial Watch found that they were also talking between the IRS and the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, how to circumvent potential legal prohibitions on unauthorized disclosure of taxpayer information. You have to send this information across so that, right, CMS knows who to target. You're not supposed to get that stuff. Well, so they're saying, how do we go around that law?
I didn't know the IRS was created by Congress to recruit healthcare recipients.
It was in the original Greek.
Okay. That's why I didn't
of the Constitution,
it.
Yeah.
No, but you original know, I don't even Greek. Know if they shouldn't have even spent any money on attorneys to make sure this was legal, because essentially in Washington, you can do whatever you want, and then they'll have some kind of congressional probe and have hearings. And then 3 years later, like Lois Lerner, who was targeting conservative groups with the IRS, declining their 501c3 status, you know, where is she?
Still working, as far as I know.
Yeah, she did a couple hearings here and there, you know, went back to work.
No,
she's
she
doing
pleaded
fine.
The Fifth Amendment. She didn't even testify.
Yeah. Right, yeah, she pleaded the Fifth. So you can do whatever you want. I'm kind of disappointed. President Trump hasn't done anything with the IRS, meaning he has not had any kind of structural reforms.
I had a story, I don't know if we talked about it on air the other day, but it was about how many people are burrowing into the federal government, and it's taking a political appointed job like Lois Lerner's, and they convert it to a permanent job. So you're not subject to firing or to being replaced every time you get a new administration in. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit of the reason that President Trump has been a little slow in draining the swamp. But the swamp is still there, and to be honest, I mean, to be full disclosure, this was stuff that was happening during the Trump administration. I don't know.
Wait, that Judicial Watch?
The Judicial Watch documents were from the Obama administration.
If I said okay, Trump, I was about I was, to say.
If I said Trump, I
yeah.
misspoke.
Okay.
The Obama administration. So it was stuff that was happening back in the day,
yeah,
for, you know, 2-3 years ago, way back then. But they were spent $5 million on how to get people to scare people basically into buying Obamacare.
Well, I'm encouraged.
There you go.
$5 million. And when you take a look at the national debt of $20 trillion, Steve, $5 million isn't really all that much.
Not for a letter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I would have gladly done, I'm a writer. I would have gladly done it for
half that
amount.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of money to design a couple of letters. We need to talk, Tim.
Right.
I mean, not to mention,
Steve and I do some writing around here.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, but they're trying to recruit people to sign up for Obamacare through the IRS.
Well, and that all came about, you know, because the Supreme Court ruled that Obamacare was legal because it was a tax. It was a tax, not,
right.
You know.
Not a pen, not a fine.
No, yeah. Well, the whole Obamacare scheme was ruled a tax. That was
Can you imagine
our dear,
John Roberts, Chief John Justice.
Roberts, Chief
the
Justice
founding
Roberts.
Fathers, telling the founding fathers, yeah, we're going to create this thing called the IRS, and we're going to do government-subsidized health care, and we're going to use the IRS to recruit people to sign up for government health care, and it's all going to be run by the government.
You know what the founders would have said? You better read the document. You better read the Constitution. That's not in there.
In the original language, if you don't mind. There are those, and Chris Woodward, I was talking with him about this before I came on the air this morning, and he knows much more about this than I do, but he says there are those that argue, and they might have a point, that the IRS isn't even really shouldn't be able to collect taxes on your income. I've often thought that when I go to
what?
Pay my
Say what
I've
now?
I've heard that too.
What now?
That the IRS, there's no constitutional mandate for the IRS to collect even income tax, that it's a government overreach.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but try not doing it.
Well, if you think about taxes, you know how often you pay on the same dollar? When I get paid from AFA, the government takes out part of my my money in a tax. When I go buy something, I'm taxed again on my income, based on what
dollar.
I'm spending.
Yeah.
And on and on. And if they ever got to this, what they call a value-added tax, it's just that on steroids. Mm-hmm. The IRS and taxation, hopefully the President Trump's tax overhaul is going to take root, but we don't know about that. Anything in
No, I just want to hear the Russian men's ensemble. Can we play that?
Yeah, we can. Because, you know, Brent, if you think about it, Brent, from the Russia Files.
Let me interrupt the Russian men's ensemble?
I did, because I want to bring you something from the Snowflake Files.
Go.
Hey, Snowflake.
We play these. Kent State University, they had a group there, a coalition of the Student Power Coalition, SBC, and the World of Colored Empowerment, colored spelled with a K, so it's woke. I think maybe part of the Kent Colored Coalition, that's just me. But the students decided to take a knee on campus in support of Black Lives Matter and all those who are brutalized by the authority, the ones who have been underrepresented. Well, one of the guys from the Turning Point USA, a conservative, they had a counter-protest at the flagpole where they stood for the national anthem. That upset somebody from another group who had a counter-demonstration, and they knelt in front of the flagpole. Kent State, man, I tell you, they are on top of it.
Your turn.
Protest and counter-protest and counter-counter-protests.
So now we're expecting a counter-counter-counter.
We could.
Everybody's
have more standing.
Now can we listen to the Russian men's choir?
I think
can we play it over
late.
We can't play it over the other music, can we?
You can.
You can? Can we? Let's see what that sounds like.
There you go.
Go forth. Go forth.
As I've said before, there's no... Are we out of time? We're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.